Heidi Hughes gets the honor of presenting our guest today. Heidi was the coordinator for this whole service, arranged everything. So my thanks to her, and please introduce our guests.
Okay, well, I'm very pleased and honored to have three of our own Madison area farmers here today to talk to us. I'll be introducing them in a minute, but I just want to take a brief moment to talk to you about how this came to be and what we asked the farmers to address. So the Green Sanctuary Committee and Denominational Affairs felt that this was a very natural progression of our exploration of ethical eating and environmental justice issues. We thought it would be great to have CSA farmers here just to come and talk to us. Many of us in this congregation are CSA members, and many of us aren't. So it's just another way of helping promote the positives of eating locally. Barb Park and I got our heads together and came up with some questions that we felt we wanted to know, and hopefully the rest of the congregation wants to know. And those are basically, you know, tell us your story. Why do you do this? How do you do it? How did you come to do it? And, you know, a little bit about the logistics of your farm, what you do, what you plant. Why? How do you decide to plant what you plant? Tell us a little bit about, can you support yourself all year round, or do you need a supplemental income to do this? And then finally, if you want and time allows, you can tell us personally about your take on the political aspects of farming locally, organically, how you relate to Southern Wisconsin farmers, the nation, that sort of thing, and you can free flow from there. And this is all in 5 to 7 minutes. So I'll stop talking pretty soon and get you guys up here. And then after they're done speaking, the three of them, Judy Skog will say a few words about being a long-term member of a CSA and her experiences with that, and then we'll open up for discussion. So we have Kate Eddy here from Ridgeland Harvest Farm, and she'll be sitting up here speaking first, and then we have Beth Kuzmar from TP Produce, and Blue Strom from Shady Blue Acres. Okay. Thank you so much. And I think that Kate will speak first.
And is this on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I am a farmer and not a public speaker, so thank you for being a receptive audience here. As Heidi said, my name is Kate Eddy. I've left my husband and our two young children at home this morning because everyone's getting over a cold. Hold it to the mouth. Is that easier? Okay, thank you. Ridgeland Harvest is in the southwest part of the state, and we own and operate 70 acres. We purchased our farm back in 2000, and during that first summer, we operated a half an acre with a little walk-behind tiller and realized we own a lot of acreage. While we had worked on other farms, the first farm I worked at was actually TP Produce with Steve and Beth, so they're familiar faces to me here, but that we rented out the rest of our acreage then, and over the course of the last 10 years, we have gradually accumulated the equipment and the infrastructure in order to operate all 70 acres. Right now, we've got 30 acres in permanent hay and pasture, 20 acres in vegetables and cover crops, and another 20 acres in woods. So not only do we raise a whole gamut of vegetables, asparagus to zucchini, essentially, with some fruits in there, but we also raise livestock. We enjoy nurturing things, which I think is one of the biggest draws of why we came to this profession, is that watching things grow from animals and plants is something that has always been a part of our being. And so we raise cattle, some cattle, and also hogs, and then chickens as well. Those things we offer through our community-supported agriculture. So we just raise enough but also it's a wonderful way for us to be managing our steeper slopes of our property by rotationally grazing our cattle. While this is our 10th year of farming, it is our first season of being full-time farmers. We've both been working full-time jobs in the past, as well as working the full-time job of getting a farm going. But now this season we can say we can pour our hearts and souls into what we truly want to be doing, and that is to farm. We are first-generation farmers, and it is a challenge. We can't deny it's difficult in that while our families are wonderfully supportive of what we do, we miss out on the reunions, the weddings, and the camping trips that happen throughout a season. And so community-supported agriculture for us has given us an income that is stable and that has allowed us to grow our farm and to say, let me back up here, we've got... In the last season, we had 200 CSA members, and that has given us enough income to be able to purchase all of our inputs, hire 3 to 6 employees every season, and to now hopefully dedicate ourselves to this career and this passion. Maybe I'll just pass the microphone in. Okay, let's see what other questions we have later.
Okay, my name is Beth Kasmar. Is this working?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm from TP Produce, and we are located near Evansville, Wisconsin, which is just a little over half an hour from here, so not too far. I farm with my husband, Steve Pincus, and with a crew of about 15 long-term returning employees who helped us build our farm up. We grow 45 acres of mixed vegetables and some fruits. Our business is split into two portions. We sell a lot of produce to wholesale accounts, and that is natural food stores in Madison and Milwaukee. So it's places like Willie Street Co-op. We are the biggest supplier for Willie Street Co-op. So if you shop there, you very well could have already bought our produce. And then their equivalent in Milwaukee, as well as Whole Foods. And then in addition to those accounts, we have the CSA, and it's about half and half. And for us, a CSA is, last year we packed a little over 400 boxes and fed about 650 households, which we're very proud of. We've only been doing the CSA for, this will be our 7th season. My husband's been farming since 1976. I joined the farm 11 years ago when our first child was born. But the CSA, so for us is, 7 years, we sort of have it under our belts, but that was a new addition to our farm. we really like having both of those two components to the farm because we feel like having the wholesale business sort of protects our CSA. So the CSA gets first dibs, and if, say, there's a crop that's short or something like that, we always make sure that that goes in the boxes. We feel like those two half of the businesses, of the business balance themselves pretty well. My husband started farming. He grew into it. Neither of us grew up on farms. He started because he was part of a small group that started the Outpost Natural Foods Co-op in Milwaukee. And he was the first manager, and one of his jobs was to go out and source the produce for the store. And he just grew enchanted with these farms and the hard work the farmers were doing and what their lifestyle was like. And so he decided, with no experience, he decided he was going to become a farmer, which had, this amazing long learning curve. And by now, he really knows. I mean, he knows what he's doing. And we've gone through the capitalization process that Kate talked about, starting with very small equipment. We have a whole bunch of tractors now. We're pretty well mechanized. As I mentioned, we still have lots of long-term employees. They're a real important part of our business. But so he gradually built up the business. As I said, I joined 11 years ago. Prior to that, I'm trained as a plant pathologist, a plant doctor, which I put to use on the farm. So we feel like the CSA contributes to our farm in exactly the same way that Kate described, so that members commit to the farm, we commit in return. The stability of having members come back year after year, knowing that they're going to be with us, lets us make investments in the farm. It supports our farming in a way that, I just almost can't express, appreciation for how much stability that brings to our farming. In terms of what we grow a huge range of fruits and vegetables. We have brochures on the table in the lobby. And when you, if you pick up one of those, there's a list inside that shows everything we grow and also lists some sample boxes from previous years if you want to see what sorts of things you would get if you join a CSA. I think in terms your decision of supporting local foods. I feel like that's a very good decision on several levels. If you buy local foods, I think it's good for you personally. I think it's good for your community and good for your environment, in the sense that it's good for you because local foods, you will find, are almost always a better quality than what you can buy in the grocery store. You know, on average, produce is shipped about 1,500 miles from the place it is grown to where it is eaten for American consumers. And that is not going to be the freshest produce you can get. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that buying local produce is good for you because you're going to enjoy the quality. I think it's good for your community because you are investing in your community. You're putting your money back into your community instead of shipping it out of the community. And I think it's good for the environment because we're certified organic farmers. I think Blue and Kate, I think we all are. And so we try really hard to be responsible in how we manage our farms and not release pollutants into the environment and be good, responsible caretakers of the environment. So that's kind of all I have to say. And I think we're going to have some time for questions and answers.
Okay. Every farm is so different. You know, that's the first thing I want to say is each farm has things that they do, and it's great to, as a consumer, to always ask questions and find out if farms are a good fit for you. Our farm is out in Richland Center, which is also in southwest Wisconsin. And we are a market farmer and a CSA farm, and we had 83 members last year. We have 17 acres and are in the process of trying to acquire another 20 adjacent to ours, as well as rent another 18 adjacent to that. So, and also, if that doesn't work out, we're looking to actually get on a larger farm. Over the years, it's been such a process for us. I got into farming originally. I was doing the EMT and firefighter training here in Madison, and I actually started to work at TP in order to keep myself in shape. And then I just loved it. I loved being outside. I liked working with my body, with the soil, just interacting that way, watching things grow, the nurturing process that you described. And in 2003, we rented some acres outside of Madison, and by 2004, we had moved on to our farm in Richland Center. And we have a wide variety of things that we do. We grow all the vegetables, and again, in our brochure, it does also have a list. And most farms that are doing CSA have similar, but sometimes some grow fruits or don't or something like that. And we, over time, started to bring animals onto our farm, and we just really feel like they have just brought a lot of life to our farm. We really wanted to create our own fertilization program, and they just, now having them there, I can't imagine how they were never there before. You know, we always want them there. We focus on heritage breeds, like the black mulefoot hogs. Some of the breeds that we focus on are endangered livestock species. For example, the hogs that we raise only have 600 registered animals right now. So we really, you know, feel like this is really important to, you know, get that piece of our, it's sort of a holistic process for us. We want, you know, all things being connected on our farm and working together in unison. And so we are certified organic, and I know some of the politics of that recently is, you know, organic versus local and these kinds of things. We try to go what we say is organic and beyond. There are approved sprays for organic, but we actually choose not to use those. But we're on a small farm, so we can kind of make some of those choices since we're cropping 4 acres in vegetables. And then the rest is pasturing animals. And so everything's really intensive as far as how we're doing our crop rotations. And as well as the type of varieties we choose are a lot of heirloom, you know, varieties and things of that nature. We also have a commercial kitchen on our farm where we do canned goods, and we also wash eggs. So with our shares, you can also add on egg shares, and canned goods shares are separate. We treat them as a storage share, so we can all season long. Obviously, starting with asparagus, we do pickled asparagus and then strawberry jam, and kind of moves, you know, through the whole season. And then in the fall, we deliver that all at once. So that's an additional share that we offer, as well as the pork and lamb. And we actually just invited some Scottish Highlanders, a very small fold of just 4, to our farm, and that's why we're trying to acquire the additional acreage now for them. Let's see if there's anything else here. Right now, it's just really the two of us. We had a part-time worker and an intern that helped at the Dane County Farmers Market on the square with us this last year. Last year was actually my husband and I's first year working the whole year together on the farm, and that was just amazing. And we want to keep it that way. It's really opened up a lot of doors, and we can get a lot more accomplished and really meet all of our own personal goals as far as what we're trying to do on our farm. And let's see, make sure I didn't miss anything major here. One of the big things for us for being certified organic, especially with our animals, is that there are farms raising animals locally, but they might also be buying genetically modified food for them. And we're just really against anything that's genetically modified or engineered crops. And one of the things that organic does guarantee is that you're not receiving, that's not allowed in the program. And so that's important to us because we just feel like that's very detrimental to our environment and to our health. And there's a lot of information out there about that, but that's a very important piece to us to educate our consumers about. And this year we're looking to have 100 members, and I guess that's about it. We'll answer more questions later.
I just wanted to say that we have some of our long-term CSA members as part of your congregation. And Karen and Johnny Nicholson, raise your hands. They said they'd be happy to answer questions. And I have to disclose that they're also our next-door neighbors, so they really know the full scoop. So if you want to talk to long-term CSA members of our farm, talk to them.
And could I just ask for a clarification of terms before we move on? You used the phrase heritage, heirloom.
Yep.
If you could just explain for those who don't know, and I assume at some point you'll get into what organic actually means and what you do differently. You've kind of alluded to that, but it'd be helpful. A lot of us probably don't know what certified organic really implies.
Well, as far as like the heirloom plant varieties, they're open pollinated. You can save seeds, which is something we've started to do and plan to do more of in the future. With hybrids, you can't do that. They're not going to breed true. And I guess you probably would be able to say more about that. As far as the heritage breeds of livestock, these are, old school homestead breeds. These are breeds that have been around for a really long time. The ones we choose to raise were indigenous to our country. We raised two kinds of sheep, Tunis and Jacob. They came over here a long time ago with the pilgrims. And, their numbers too were like, our Tunis sheep at one point were down to 20 and are now over 2,000. So, it's a real effort when these breed conservations do this, because it really starts to get the information out there and increase the numbers of these animals, because once they're gone, they're gone. And so it's just really important us to play a part in that. And they're just, the heritage breeds we find are really nice, full-flavored. This isn't, pork that's the other white meat. This is, like a red pork. It's just really nice. And I don't mean to offend anyone who's a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian for 12 years, so I do very much empathize, with that, but we just feel like if people are going to eat meat, it's just so important to do it in a way that's, responsible. And I guess that's...
So I'll tackle the question of what is certified organic. That is now a legal term. So the first thing to mention is organic production systems are intended to be sustainable. They're intended to be, easy on the environment. A few years ago, the federal government actually legislated what you can call certified organic, and that's where the term certified. It means you've gone through the process to achieve that. So what is it to be an organic farmer? I think the big difference to be an organic farmer is we don't feed our plants. We feed our soil. So there are restrictions. You cannot use chemicals like pesticides. You cannot use chemical fertilizer on your crops. You cannot have used them 3 years previous to cropping your fields. But what that really means is we work with growing crops that will sustain the next crop. We grow leguminous crops that will feed the soil and therefore feed the next crop. I'm kind of rambling here. Kate, what do you have to add to that?
Well, I guess I can also add kind of the regulatory side. I worked for a certifying agency for 6 years, and so I know the ins and outs of what the actual USDA regulations brings. But indeed, it is, there is approved substances that people can use on their farm. But I think one of the things that's wonderful about investing in a certified organic farm is that you know the basics of things that they are not doing. No genetically modified seeds. You're not going to be having any type of synthetics unless they are approved. So yes, there are approved synthetics that can be used. So then what are the degrees of that? Well, all of those things have to be gone through an approval process through the organic certifying agency who is reviewing their substances on their farm. So it's amazing to me, I think, how many chemicals there are, even when you look at potting soil. The fact that there's synthetic wetting agents that can be added to the potting soil. So all of those little things that, we didn't really think about before certification are put under a microscope, and all of how you manage your farm from soil to crop inputs to livestock inputs are evaluated. So I think that it's a meaningful thing. Yes, there are people who are certified organic because of the monetary differences between crops in a, oftentimes in a commodity situation. And that's where I feel like where there's consumer involvement in that you can ask why you do certain things on your farm or how you do certain things is that it creates that next level of, yes, we understand that you're certified organic, but if there's something else that's important to you as a consumer, then you can also get that understanding from the farmers directly.
Too. With organic, there are products, and I think it is confusing to consumers because, for example, sewage sludge is an organically derived product, but is not an organically approved product. There's a number of products on the market that you'll see will say organic on it because of how it's derived as a natural product that isn't a chemical-based type thing, but it isn't, approved. And so there's a lot of, things like that, as you dig deeper, you find out a lot more about it, and the certification process helps, understand all of that, too. So
I get to talk about how to survive CSA. I always look forward to the first box in the spring, and I also look forward to reclaiming my refrigerator in whenever we've finally eaten all of the vegetables. And I would like to stress, first of all, I think probably everybody here understands the concept of fair trade, fair trade coffee, fair trade tree, and all of that are key. Okay, fair trade means that the workers were paid a living wage for whatever the community is. The product was raised in a way that's less harmful, so it supports local communities like fair trade coffee. Often fair trade coffee will be shade grown, so it's much less damaging to the environment. The farmers can make a living and afford to send their kids to school. It's a good thing to do. Lots of churches and houses of worship consider it part of their mission to promote fair trade. I would also like to stress that eating locally can be considered fair trade. Eating, participating in a CSA can be considered fair trade. It does not have to be overseas. It can happen here. We joined, I don't know how long MaxSAC is. Do you guys know how long MaxSAC's been around? Anyway, we joined a CSA farm the year before MaxSAC was founded, so it's been forever. I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years, something like that. MaxSAC, Madison Area Community Supported Agriculture, thank you. They're the sort of the organizing group from which you can get information about all of the different farms.
It's really a collective of us farmers, and we band together to promote the idea of CSA in this area. And we are having our annual open house on Sunday, March 14th, so it's coming up. It's going to be at Monona Terrace. And how many farms are showing up this year? 25, 35? Huge numbers. It could be in the 40s because we added 12 new farms this year. Mm-hmm. So if you want to meet every CSA farm and farmer that serves this area, go to the open house.
Monona Terrace.
It's at Monona Terrace.
I don't know the times. Do you know? 1 to 4. Okay. 1 to 4 on the 14th, on Sunday.
you will get an opportunity to talk to the farmers, to look at their brochures, see what they raise, because as they said, every farm is different. We're not in this farm anymore, but I really miss the goat cheese. And another farm, you know, I miss something else. For various reasons, we've moved farms. So we joined initially. I prompted us to join for political reasons, to support local organic food, and discovered over the years that I really can't eat any other way because it tastes so much better. I learned vegetables I never thought I'd like, like fresh beets. Whole world of difference between fresh beets and canned beets. I ate things I'd never eaten before, like turnips, celeriac, burdock root. Our farm is real famous for really weird stuff, like burdock root, and it's really good. Surviving CSA is a whole different way of cooking your way through the week than just creating a menu. I don't create the menu until we get the box on Saturday. And I look and see what's in the box, and I craft a menu. I brought last week's menu. I have down here the nights when we have meetings, so I know which nights I have to cook something that's easier, like grilled cheese. But the goal is to eat through the box by the end of the week, because there's more vegetables coming next Saturday. You know, certain things you can let slide. I've also learned some techniques for how to deal with less than perfect greens. You can saute anything. And greens actually, you know, even lettuce, it tastes good sauteed, so it's not a big deal. When our girls were little, I would construct the menu such that we would alternate kid-friendly day, adult-friendly day, and they had to eat a little bit of whatever I cooked. I said, I don't care how much you eat. You have to taste it after that. You can go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't care, but you have to taste it. And Erica in particular has grown to really appreciate. She's been ruined for store-bought produce now. She came home from college her freshman year. She said, Mom, what's left from the box? I said, well, geez, you know, all we've got left is spinach. And I know how much she hated spinach when she was living at home. I said, well, I could put it in a salad. And she said, no, that's okay. Go ahead and steam it. I'll eat it. This was the pickier of the two kids. They don't just have this out front to sell for their health. I could not survive CSA without this cookbook, because it has at least 2 or sometimes 4 pages of recipes for any kind of weird vegetable you can come up with, including burdock. It's in here.
Fundraiser.
Yeah, and it's a fundraiser for MaxSec. And I've gone through, this is my second, I went through an earlier version of it too, which is in a 3-inch spiral-bound notebook. You can get it at Willie Street. You can probably get it at Whole Foods. You can get it from Borders. You can get it from MaxSec. You'll be able to get it at the open house. And if you get it at the open house, MaxSec will get more of the money.
The money actually goes into a program called Partner Shares, and it helps serve low-income folks to be able to get CSA shares. So they actually help fund like up to half of the share. So it's a really great program, and supports a nice cause. So.
Just 2 more quick things. Certain of our local health insurance companies give a rebate for participation in community-supported agriculture, so they will Physicians Plus, Group Health, maybe Dean.
Dean and Unity.
And Unity, yeah. Will give, it varies by insurance, but how much do we get, Ken? Is it up? Yeah, up to $100, $50 to $100 or more. Rebate, you have to prove to them that you actually participated in the program, but that's not hard. Because they know that people eating healthy food keeps the people who are eating it healthier. Ken wanted me to mention the drop-off and pick-up, because it's really easy. The farm, at least the way our farm works, there are drop sites spaced around the city. So there's east side drop sites, west side drop sites. Our site is, I don't know, maybe 6 blocks away. and the farm arrives there somewhere around 10 on Saturday morning, delivers all the boxes, and after they're done, then we go and we check our names off the list and take our box and go home, and that's it. That's how we get our veggies.
Just want to make a comment on that. Every farm is a little different. We have different delivery days. We deliver on Thursday. When do you guys?
Thursday.
Wednesday. Many farms have different schedules. I think one thing when you're choosing a farm for yourselves, look real closely at the pickup sites. Make sure that it's really going to work in your life without a big trip out of the way. Because there's so many farms. You'll find one that's within your neighborhood.
We have probably 15 minutes for questions, so Mary will carry the microphone.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I guess we did assume that everybody kind of already knew. CSA is community supported agriculture, and what it is early in the year, let's say you sign up for a share with our farm or another farm, and then in the season we start to deliver, but the farms, you know, are doing the work even beginning in January. We're already ordering seeds. End of February start, you know, seeding in the hoop houses, things of this nature. And so our work starts way before you ever get your vegetables. And so what it is you buy a share of the farm, and that means there's different sizes. There's you can get like a box of food every week, a box of food every other week, a half a box of food every other week. There's different types of shares. And basically what the share is you're getting a box of vegetables in season at that time. So as the season progresses, you're going to see different types of vegetables. So in the beginning, you're going to get, you know, a lot of the lettuces and radishes and green onions and things like this. And then in the summer, you're going to get more peppers and tomatoes and, of course, potatoes and things like that. You pay, it just depends. Like some farms offer a payment plan. Like we have a payment plan where you can submit three, you know, you pay one check right away and the other two are post-dated checks, or you can pay it all at once. Farms love to have you signed up, you know, as early as, you know, December, January, February, but we have people signing up all the way until, you know, April or May even, so as long as we have space. This has become pretty popular with the rebates. A lot of farms are selling out, and so, and that's why more farms are joining in the coalition, trying to you know, have more availability of these products, and so it's just a win-win for everything, because you get money back from your insurance company. Like I said, there's also partner shares through MaxSec that you can apply for, and you know, perhaps get that refunded to you too, get part of your share paid for. So there's a number of ways to be able to participate in this, and it helps the farmer early, you know, buy the things that they make, the investments they need to for the year, and then you get fresh vegetables for 20 weeks and even up to 26 weeks. Mm-hmm.
The question is, how large is a share or a half share? Every farm is going to be different, and I think I just want to sort of walk through the process of choosing a farm. I think the first step is either go to the MaxSec open house or go to the MaxSec website, and that's www.macsac.org. So it's just like it sounds. And there's a list of all the farms on there with links to websites. Most of the farms on their websites or in their brochures will describe for you roughly how much you're going to get in those boxes. And I can tell you that for almost all the farms, the spring boxes are lighter. That's when you've got asparagus and lettuce and scallions. There's not a whole lot, but it's the stuff you're really looking forward to. Later in the season, the boxes are more abundant. This is just our farm. I think, read what we shipped on a couple of boxes, and you guys can comment, just to give a sense. So this is what we would send to, a couple years ago on May 18th, in our weekly box, we packed 3/4 pound of asparagus. This is, we pack one size box. And then you either choose, for our farm, you either get it every week or every other week. Some farms offer large and small shares, and that's where you have to do your research. Actually, before I start reading that, just to finish the idea, do your research. Investigate the farms. How big are their shares? How much are they sending? Where are their pickup sites? What does it cost? How long is the season? I think those are pretty good variables in making the right decision. Talk to friends. Absolutely, absolutely. Several households can share a box. We have many households who do that. Yeah. And now I am going to read, May 18th, from a couple years ago. 3/4 pound asparagus, 1.5 pounds of spinach, green leaf lettuce, a bunch of arugula,
sweet salad turnips, which is a white turnip, which is something unusual. You said you learned turnips. It's not the normal storage turnip, but it's a very popular thing in our CSA. Green garlic, which is like garlic scallions, and a pound and a half of rhubarb. So that was one box May 18th. By August 20th, the box is bigger. It's one watermelon, about 3 pounds of mixed types of tomatoes, a pound of zucchini and summer squash, three peppers, red, orange, or green, some red Italian peppers. This is August 20th, so this is when everything's really in abundance. Yeah.
We don't grow field corn, so we don't have that problem. But I know that can be an issue in terms of cross-pollination happening. Our organic certification agency, Minnesota Crop Improvement Association, out of St. Paul, they also are seed breeders. And so they have a lot of information that I've had opportunity of reading regarding cross-pollination. I know they are seed certifiers as well. And so they get into the issue of how large of a buffer is needed, how much space can pollen drift. And I think that in terms of organic certification, when I've talked to farmers who are trying to certify field corn and they have conventional neighbors, each farm has to have their own significant buffer, an appropriate buffer made especially for their farm. And so during their annual organic inspection, and especially during their first inspection, buffer review is a really important part, especially when they're adjoining conventional farms. But we encourage people certifiers encourage people to either not be growing the same crop. So if they're a conventional neighbor is growing conventional corn, to not have something close by that could create a problem.
That's a great question. And for our farm, here's what it means to us. We do not put our chickens in postage stamp boxes and move them around. Our personal feeling is we want our chickens completely free ranging, so they're getting sunlight, because if they get vitamin D into their body, we're going to get vitamin D in our body when we eat them. And so we feel like in those boxes, yes, it protects them from predators, and maybe it makes them size up quicker. But for us, it was not... it was added labor, and it wasn't even a system that we agreed with or felt lined up with our values. Our hogs, for example, were on a 4-acre pasture woodland lot, running free. They had access to a pond. We actually found that they improved our pond because they would go in and blow bubbles and perhaps even eat some of the algae. We had less algae blooms last year. And actually they helped, and it's funny. I mean, it's a blast because it breaks up our day. You know, we can just walk away from the vegetables and go interact with our animals for a little while, and it breaks up our day in a way that's just very enjoyable and, like I said, brings a lot of life and a lot of fun to our farm for us. It's not the right fit for every farm, but for us, like I said, we couldn't imagine it any other way, and all that it is the way that we've got it to be. But some people do. They pasture hogs where they're, you know, putting them in a small area, even in the way that some people do chickens, where they'll move them in those I guess what I call postage stamp, but it's still an approved way of free ranging. But we really free range. I mean, we let them go completely. It means more work for us in some ways at some times, but in other ways we wouldn't have it any other way because we want them. For us, we want to create an environment where our animals can live as natural of a lifestyle to them as they can. And one of the things that we're currently doing above and beyond our organic certification is getting animal welfare approved, because some of the things that even in the organic, you know, pigs grow wolf teeth. Some people clip them so that they're not sharp. We don't do any of that. We don't crop any tails of our lambs. There's just a whole number of things that, you know, are considered, you know, humane treatment, and we're following those standards, and we're adding that additional as well as the grass fed. Now, we also recognize that different animals are different. Our ruminants don't get any corn. Okay, well, I was just going to say, the other thing is, like, some people, you know, are feeding corn to ruminants, and there can be issues with that. We don't do that. We give them, they're all grass-fed. We do give a little organic barley and oats during certain times of the year more for training purposes, to be able to work with them and get them to come to us when we need to. But then hogs are an omnivore, so we are recognizing that fact, and they need grain in addition, as well as chickens do too. So you have to look at what their needs are. You can't just you know, put them on grass and think they're going to thrive that way. They won't, whereas a ruminant would. So different animals treated the way they need to be on our farm, and that's, you know, kind of what we do, I guess. But those are good questions to ask farms if you're interested in those products, because not all farms are doing the same thing.
Well, certainly cities are encroaching on farmland. We, you know, in Madison is located on a type of soil called Plano silt loam, which is some of the best soil in the world, and it's being lost to development. There is no doubt about that, and that is irreplaceable. I think that, again, your decision to support local farming provides an opportunity for local farmers to actually make a living and keep those farms in existence, because the reason people sell out is because the prices that are available to sell for development are so high. And that if a farmer has come to the end of their life and they don't have a retirement package, and the only way that they can retire is to sell their land, well, that's often when the land gets sold. And so I think it's another argument for supporting local farms. I just want to address your point. You said that farms are getting smaller. Farms are actually getting bigger, so that there are far fewer farmers than there used to be, but the farms themselves are bigger, so that as farms go out of business, the neighbors buy the land.
Yeah. I just wanted to briefly comment. Yeah, we not only supply a weekly box, people can choose from a half a share or a full share, but then provide a weekly newsletter, which tells people, we term ours the weekly weeder, and people hear news from the farm, so you get to understand what we did this week, if there was a specific challenge in the production that was happening for your box, and also some recipes to help you deal with things that maybe you don't know how to cook with. But yes, that's a wonderful part of sharing, I think, our story as well.
I think just about every CSA farm provides a newsletter with recipes and hints and news of the farm. That's real common. Okay, pickup site numbers are going to vary by the farm. I would say most farms would probably require at least 10 boxes a week to open a site. We tend to cap ours when it reaches about 75 boxes. The pickup sites are in members' garages, and after that it just becomes unmanageable with parking in the neighborhood. So that's, yeah. So you think that sounds fair? Pretty normal? Yeah, so 50 boxes is pretty normal. My husband and I have two children, ages 7 and 10. They are involved somewhat in the farm. Our farm is big enough. One thing I didn't address earlier in my presentation was the question of whether we are full-time on our farm or have other jobs. We do not. We work full-time. We work far past full-time. And so this is our life. We have quite a few employees as well. And so we have sort of a really busy farm with a lot of machinery. The ways we have integrated our children is into our CSA. So they help me pack the boxes. They'll help me sometimes pick the herbs. But for us, most of the work really is done by the employees and by my husband and I, and our children's involvement as yet. You know, it's growing. Each year we can give them a little bit more responsibility. But as yet, their responsibility are pretty small.
Our children, our oldest son is 3 and our youngest is 1. But they tag along and do everything. Matt rides the cultivating tractor with a backpack on his back. It's a quiet enough machine where they can fall asleep. We have many pictures of them doing that. But as well, Paul, being 2.5 last year, could pack the garlic bulbs into the box. And so that was his job. But yes, they are involved in everything and love, especially the animal caring. So that's a great part.
My son is 13, and he has his own challenges. He was years ago diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, as well as OCD and anxiety. So his attention sometimes can be limited. But at the same time, I think he really enjoys our lifestyle. He does do some seeding, like with fennel seeds, things that are, you know, bigger seeds that are easier to count and to see and to feel. And he's done a variety of things. He's helped us plant, put transplants into the ground. He really enjoys the animals, of course. And but you know, our thing is that we don't force anything. There's no, like, you have to do this. It's not a chore. We don't want to make it a chore, because we want him to, over time, ease into it on his own level and enjoy it for the long run, instead of like many farmers from long ago, the kids grew up and left the farm because everything was such a chore all the time, and that's not the kind of environment we want for him.
We were like 1 3/4 vegetable eaters between the four of us. So a full share was just enough. Now, with just Ken and me, we're going to drop down to an every other week share this year because we just can't. I have still not reclaimed my refrigerator from the vegetables, although it's at this point it's root vegetables. But for a single person, I would either go every other week or split, even every other week split with somebody, because it's a lot.
Yeah, for our shares, I'd say that's a good, for what we pack, that's a good assessment, either every other week or more likely splitting in every other week.
But it also depends on the farm and how big a box they pack.
We offer a quarter share, which is a half share every other, half of a half share every other week. So it's a small, and that's for that situation in particular. So, yeah, we're at the Dane County Farmers Market on Saturday, as well as doing our CSA drop-offs Thursday. And our surplus, we have very little, and our hogs are always happy to oblige.
Now, I know we have more hands up, but don't forget, they'll be here after service. Please feel free to ask your questions, and I'm sure they would appreciate it. Please join me in thanking our panelists.